Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Let us return to our discussion on the six ways in which Melchizedek and Christ are greater than the Levitical priesthood. I hope you have found these as fascinating as I have. There is no end to the wisdom of the Word of God. We could be here together all day, every day, and still not penetrate its deepest depths. I am consistently, here at my desk, blown away by all the Scripture has to offer. That is why I'm glad I could talk to you. We can share this together. Thanks for being my friend, and my prayer is that what is said here will be an encouragement and convicting to your own heart, soul, and mind. So we have these six ways we have been working through, and today we are ready for the fifth. Are you ready? Here it is. Fifth, Christ's priesthood is a new covenant priesthood. The Levitical priesthood was an old covenant priesthood. When I say old covenant, what do I mean? I mean the covenant between God and the Israelite people that was in effect during the dispensation, or the time, or the age of the law. We consider this old in comparison to the new. And the new covenant speaks of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, burial, and his resurrection, providing to us, both Jew and Gentile, forgiveness for our sins and redemption from our sins. As we have been saying, as we discussed the difference between the Levitical priesthood, Old Covenant, and the priesthood of Jesus Christ, New Covenant, the difference maker is Jesus. In a moment, I want to show you how the Old Covenant prophet Jeremiah prophesies about the New Covenant. So if you want to be prepared to join me in the text, open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 31. That is Jeremiah 31, and put a marker at verse 31. Easy to remember, Jeremiah 31, 31. As you do that, let me read to you the words of Jesus at what we call the Last Supper, as he reclined at the table with his disciples. This is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse 20. And in the same way, Jesus took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." The death of the Lord Jesus, in which he shed voluminous amounts of blood, made effective this new covenant between God and men and women. Luke 22, verse 20. Under the old covenant, the blood of unblemished animals provided atonement for sin. But under the new covenant, Jesus Christ's blood provides atonement for sin. Now let's read about this predicted in Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 31. "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Isn't that something? Sown into the Hebrew Bible is this great promise of God for a new covenant. Under the Mosaic covenant, the Israelites as individuals and as a nation had failed God. But under the new covenant, through their belief in Christ, as both individuals and the nation. Hail him, the Messiah. The blessings of salvation will pour over the Jews, God's chosen people. He will be their God, and they shall be his people. I would like it if we had the time today to say much more about how this new covenant is fulfilled, but this does not fit the purpose of our current study. The main point I want you to identify is that Jesus is new covenant, whereas the Levitical priesthood was old covenant. In fact, do not miss this. The death of Christ put a permanent end to the Levitical priesthood. I say it again, the death of Christ put a permanent end to the Levitical priesthood. Over in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 27, if you want to turn there, just at the exact moment when Jesus cried out from the cross and breathed his last breath, the veil in the temple there in Jerusalem was ripped from the very top to the very bottom. And this symbolized something of great importance. Let me read Matthew chapter 27 and verses 50 and 51, then I will say more. Matthew 27 and verses 50 and 51 says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split." That temple veil separated the Holy of Holies, where God dwelt, from the rest of the temple where men dwelt. The significance is that men and women are sinners separated from God, and the veil signified that dreadful separation. Under the Levitical priesthood, only the high priest and only once a year could go beyond the veil to enter into God's holy presence and make atonement for sin. Well, when Jesus died, sacrificially shedding his own blood, that was the atonement for the sins of all who will believe in him by faith. Jesus is now the only way into the Holy of Holies where God dwells. And Christ has made the way open for all believers, both Jews and Gentiles, who follow him into the presence of Holy God. The veil being supernaturally torn from top to bottom, no man could have done that. The veil being torn demonstrated that God had permanently shut down the temple. The temple spoke to the old covenant, but Jesus Christ speaks to the new covenant. Christ is now the only way to God. Temple rituals are no longer the way to God. And of course, Jesus is now our great high priest. He has made atonement for our sins. There are no more Levitical high priests as far as Holy God is concerned. Matthew 27, 50 and 51 is a passage that you want to have highlighted in your Bible. I have said all of this to affirm Christ's priesthood is a new covenant priesthood. The Levitical priesthood was an old covenant priesthood, and this fact makes the priesthood of Jesus superior to and greater than the Levitical priesthood. That was our fifth insight, and now here is our sixth and final one. Sixth, Christ's is an eternal priesthood, but the Levitical priesthood was only temporary. Note takers, sixth, Christ is an eternal priesthood, but the Levitical priesthood was only temporary. As we just learned, the Levitical priesthood is over. It was established by God and served his purposes for a long period of time, but that time is gone. However, Jesus is eternal, and he serves as our great high priest forever and ever. I know we have a lot of scripture references today, but this is a good thing. Let me lay on you a few more. To begin with, I remind you of a verse we've already talked about, and this is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, which says, "We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God." Hebrews 4:14. Jesus has passed through the heavens. He is eternal. And most especially, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24. Jesus, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. This verse ties together our sixth point perfectly. Jesus, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Christ's is an eternal priesthood, but the Levitical priesthood was only temporary. And this makes Christ's priesthood superior to and greater than the Levitical priesthood. And so let us end today with two more verses from Hebrews chapter 6. This is Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Oh yes, Jesus is in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron and the Levitical priests. All right, at the beginning tomorrow, I will tie all of these six ways together, and then we will conclude our conversation on Melchizedek when I show you the fourth option for who he may have been. Intriguing, exciting. There's so much more to discover, and I hope you will continue with us tomorrow. Because, join me in saying it, because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.